Amen. Father, we just praise and glorify you, Lord. You're a wonderful God. You're a loving God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being our God. And we praise you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us in the way that you want us to go. We praise you, Father, for setting a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And we praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in each and every one of us, preparing us for this great time ahead. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been answered. We thank you for the deliverances. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for all the things that you have done, for the provisions and the protection and all the things that you've done for us, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the gifts being in operation in the name of Jesus in this outreach fellowship in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for your protection upon us tonight in this fellowship, that there will be no interruptions whatsoever. I don't care what they call themselves. There's not going to be any interruptions. Everybody's going to have a great time. They're going to have a great connection to the internet. We praise you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. We bind up Jezebel. We bind up any kind of confusion. We bind up any kind of tormenting spirit even come into this room in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for an awesome time with you tonight, Lord. I'm telling you, Lord, this is an exciting time for me and Father, and I just praise you and glorify you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of it, everybody here being a part of it. Lord, we thank you that everybody here is believing and going to stay believing and not veer from it, that they are in the bride or the man-child ministry. And we praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a special night because you're leading us and guiding us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Julie.
I have a prayer request, but I also have a praise report too. I don't know if any of you have been watching the weather out here on the West Coast, but we've got a hurricane coming up the coast, and we're going to get some much needed rain. Praise Jesus. Starting tomorrow morning, it's been threatening rain here. You know, it's very, 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 very cloudy and very windy and very humid, which you get with a hurricane. And but I haven't seen any rain hit the ground. It's been there in the air. But anyhow, so it's been kind of windy today too. And about an hour and a half ago, there was all kinds of planes and helicopters flying around. And I'm like, there's no fires here in Jesus' name. There is no fires. We prayed against this, against any kind of chaos and destruction and fires and arson and all that kind of stuff. And because it's just so dry and dangerously dry out here. And all the curses that people speak. Well, anyhow, so I just started praying and commanding and listening to the angels to make sure that there wouldn't be any fire and there's not going to be anything in my neighborhood because I'm protected. And I sent the angels forth to minister and make sure the winds die down and to assist the Cal Fire and people on the ground and in the air. And this went on for probably about 45 minutes. And I tell you what, the enemy was trying to put fear and doubt and worry and anxiety and stress and all this other stuff on me. And I just said, no, it ain't happening in Jesus' name. So anyhow, I just gradually got quiet again. I have no idea what was going on. I looked out there and I could see, you know, the stuff going on over there. And I have no idea, but it's all over with. So my prayer request is they are predicting very, very high winds throughout here and already saying that there could be, you know, power shut off and that kind of thing for damaging winds and taking down possible tree limbs and power lines and that kind of stuff. So if you would all agree with me that that will not happen in Jesus' name, I'm not going to lose power in my neighborhood, nor is anybody, there going to be any chaos, damage, destruction, and all the things that they are threatening in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be safe and secure here. And I thank you for all the rain you're going to bestow us with. Lord, bless us with all the rain. We so need it. The ground needs it. The animals need it. Just everybody needs it out here, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for sending that tropical. Well, it could be a tropical storm, not so much a hurricane by the time it gets here. But thank you for all the rain and that people are safe and are if they're out on the roads, Lord, that they drive sanely and not crazy like normal, that they slow down, and if people don't have to be out on the roads, Lord, that you keep them from driving, and that there's just going to be safety and no accidents and no chaos and no destruction, no anarchy and all craziness that people get. And they get really stupid out here. They don't know how to drive when it rains, a lot of them. So, Father, I just pray your protection on all of your elect on the roads and on our homes and wherever we are tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We believe it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for soaking the ground, for filling up all the reservoirs, filling up all of the lakes, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we thank you that there will not be one fire in that area in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And no high winds, no destruction. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe God is good. We send your angels out there right now to protect the place in the area where Julie is right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord of God. Just blowing it if he tries to come up. You got to go.
Amen. Amen, Michael. I'm already at peace and rest about it. I got stuff to do tomorrow that requires me to be on my computer, and so I'm not going to have any interference of the enemy. Amen.
You may be the only light on, Julie, but you're going to be the light. Your light is going to be on, Lord of God. They're going to say, what happened? He said, I know Jesus. Come on in here, and I'll tell you about it.
I'm praying the protection on my whole neighborhood, though.
Amen. Yeah, well, I believe we. Glory to God. I believe we. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report? Oh, boy, did we have a fun last night. Glory to God. My goodness sakes alive. Yeah, Samuel.
This one's a little weird for me, but Tiana wants to share it. So,
so a while ago, because Samuel and I are almost the same height, and a while ago we prayed for him to grow, and he's grown almost 3 inches, I think about 2.5 inches. Praise the Lord. I don't know how he did it, but God is amazing.
Amen. Yes, he is. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, anyone else? Hey, Jesse. Good to have you on, girl. All right. Has anybody got any comments, anything they want to talk about? Ooh, ooh. I want to talk a little bit about last night. We had a wonderful time. For those of you who were able to get on, it was awesome. And is David on here? Not you, David Plasson, but David Timichuk. They're not on yet, are they? Okay. They'll probably be on in a minute. But last night, during the special we had last night, and I know some of you got it too late to get on, and I apologize for that, but it was just something that the Lord placed in my heart to have everybody come together last night and pray, and pray against some things that David had asked us to pray against, and we did. And some people had some problems, deliverance and healings and things like that went on last night. And then David had lost the ability to have vision because he'd kind of gotten a little bit of doubt and unbelief, which is sometimes it's just witchcraft. But anyway, the Lord restored it to him, and immediately he had a vision. And the vision was that he saw Jesus with his arms around the fellowship, the outreach here. And, Missy, you'll have to tell me what he said, what the Lord said. Is she there? Or Julie or somebody? I can tell you basically what it was, but I want the exact thing. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Well, I wish David was here to say exactly what it was, but yeah. It was something to the effect of, that the Lord was here. He saw his computer screen, like with all your faces on it, right? In the gallery view. And he was hovering over with his arms around us. And he said, whatever it is you want, ask and you are, and believe you received it. Something to that effect, that it was there. It's like, it's there, receive it.
Yeah. Amen. And I believe that goes to everybody that's in the outreach. So if you have something that you want, I'll tell you what I ask for more of Jesus. I wanted more of Jesus. And I believe I got it. I believe I've received it, and I'm going to walk in it in Jesus' name. So that's what he wants us to do. Everything that he tells us he's going to give us, it's by faith. Everything is by faith. And all you have to do is believe that you have received and it is yours. Glory to God. If you want more discernment, if you want the gifts of healing, if you want whatever, makes no difference. He'll give it to you if you believe. That's the key right there, is believing that you have received. And I know everybody in here believes. They are believers. We are a group of believers in Christ. And what he says, we believe. If he says, by his stripes you were healed, bless God, I'm healed. If he says, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it, bless God, I'm going to get it. In fact, I already got it 2,000 years ago. And that's what he wants us to do. If I want to believe that I'm in the bride, bless God, I'm going to believe I'm in the bride, and I'm going to walk with my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to be in the bride. That special place. And same thing goes with the man-child ministry. Same thing. So you have to believe you have received before you receive. Amen. Glory to God. All right, Julie.
Just something I want to share that happened today, just a little bit of testimony. I had the Lord convicted me of some unforgiveness I had in my heart about some things that just have recently come up. It was my attitude and you know, being critical and judgmental about some things that's happening within my family and my brother's condition towards the unforgiveness is towards the medical establishment. Let's just put it that way. And there was some frustration and impatience and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was going through a trial with all that, and the Lord just showed me that that's what it was. So I confessed all that, and I confessed it to the Lord and to a sister, and we prayed, and everything was fine. But boy, I tell you what, the enemy came on me not that much later and tried to condemn me. And I know it was a trial for me to not accept the attack of the enemy. But if you have condemnation, you can't have faith at the same time. And that's just one of his tactics to keep you from receiving. So that's all I wanted to share, is that don't listen to that liar. You know, amen. My sins are all covered in the blood. They are nailed to the cross. I'm forgiven and I'm clean. And just don't let the enemy try to steal anything from you.
Amen. We thank you, Father. She's cleansed from all of that. She's back on the road in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. All right. Anretta, go ahead. How you doing, girl?
Much better. Thank awesome. You. So last night, like just hearing what you said, yeah. Last night, I got into so much pain. Like I've been in pain, but it got so excruciating. I started to think I was having a heart attack. And I struggled, but I think it was like 3 a.m. In the morning. And I was just in so much pain, and I didn't want to wake anybody up, and I couldn't ask for anyone to pray for me or anything. And I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do about this and that? And I thought, I need to talk to my father. Yeah. So I started to pray. Sorry. And I started to pray. And the interesting thing, I was saying, Lord, heal me. You know, take take the pain, or, you know, whatever it is, show me what it is so I can repent, or, you know, just all that stuff. And he was quiet, and I didn't understand what that was about. And then I stopped and I said to pray something different. And I think it was a prompting from the Holy Spirit, because I was praying in tongues at first. And I said, Father, help me to know I am a son, because I believe I am a son, but I haven't walked in it. I don't want to be a servant anymore. I want to walk in sonship. I am a son. So Lord, show me that I am a son. Help me to believe. Forgive my unbelief. I want to feel like a son. I want to speak like a son. I want to live like a son. And I got this energy. I don't know if it's energy. I don't know where I got. And I just had to bind everything up. Like, get out of my body. You know, get out of my family. In Jesus' name, you're not going to touch me. I am a daughter. I'm the daughter of a king. How dare you try to steal from me? Sevenfold, you know. So praise God. All that pain just brought me such a sweet moment, you know, with God. And so, hallelujah. When I had, you know, ask, and you shall receive, that Jesus had his hand over us, even me, you know, in the fellowship. Yes. So praise God. Hallelujah. Join me in praising him, because he does not sleep. He does not slumber. He is mighty. He is faithful, and he is worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. I thank you. Yeah. So I wanted to share that with you.
Well, I'm so glad you did. That's a wonderful testimony. Thank you, Father. Lord, I have... That's available to everybody, is it not, Ann Rutter?
Yes. It's his promise available. And he's faithful to his word. Yes. Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. Another great testimony. Would you write that up and send it in? Yes, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Send it to Eve. Wilesmama70@ubm1.org. Put it up there, Judy, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to be quiet. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
No, I was just reminded about something last night. 3 a.m, I guess. I just started speaking in tongues. And I don't know what it was for. It woke me up, and I woke up, and I was speaking in tongues. And it wasn't my usual tongue. I was just speaking in tongues. I don't know if that has ever happened to anyone here before. But it's just in the middle of the night, I started doing that while I was asleep, and it woke me up. And then I continued when I was waking in the same tongue. And I don't even think it was my usual tongue. Anyway. So praise God. I just wanted to know if that happened to anyone else.
Yeah, it did to me. As a matter of fact, Andrew, the other day in our Bible study, Wednesday, yesterday, it happened to me yesterday morning during our meeting. My language has changed many times over the years, but it changed again yesterday. So, and it depends on what I'm praying for, but yesterday was a new one for me, another new one. So, yeah. It happens. Glory to God. I don't know. It's just times are changing. Tactics are changing. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I just praise you, Father, for everybody here. Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
For the last few days, I've been thinking about, obviously the Lord is taking us through a process of really implementing praise, into our life, and really, showing me, the aspect of warfare in that praise. And I feel like, that's an aspect of my life that is totally undeveloped. And I just feel like an amateur in that process. And so, I think what I want from the Lord is to be unleashed as far as praise to him and to be released from any inhibitions or anything that would hold me back from praising him, and just a new spirit of praise and worship. And so, Father, I'm asking for that right now, not only for me, but for anyone who would be feeling that sense of lack or something. Lord, I just feel like I need to be set free in that area. I don't know if it's thanking or I don't know what it is. And I don't really care, I guess, at this point. I'm just asking you, Lord, to open up and set this person free from any kind of lack of inhibition or anything that would hold me back from praising you to the fullest and taking advantage of this this life, this opportunity, and this benefit that you've provided each one of us, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace in our life. And thank you for taking us from where we are to where we need to be. And I praise you for that, Lord. I thank you for your grace in my life and ask you to bless each one in here with the same spirit of praise. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command that spirit of the frozen chosen to leave Patrick right now in Jesus' name. We command that religious spirit off of him to go in the name of Jesus. We command the devil to loose him to praise his Lord in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, devil, you loose Tracy's internet right now in Jesus' name and bring her in. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Patrick is going to be one of the most animated praisers in this fellowship in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We may even see him fly across some pews at some point in time. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That is a tremendous experience when you're free to praise God in a way that would be pleasing to him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I believe it's done. Y'all believe it's done. Amen. How many believe Tracy's coming on without any more problems in Jesus' name? Amen. Thank you, Father. Turn her loose. You loose yourself from Tracy's internet connection right now in Jesus' name. I command it by the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, Joe Britt.
Can I just add what Pat says? You were talking about praise and things. It's mine is very different these days, and I'm completely happy in the Lord. But what I want to say about Pat is he can play more guitar for praising us in the worship days. He loves to play guitar. I only seen him once, so he can play more. Thank you.
Amen. I believe it too, Joe.
Amen.
I'll work on it.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Glory to God. All right, Joe DeBrazzi, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm believing for, well, I'd like to believe for everybody, not just me. I'd see more of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. I haven't seen that really much in my life lately, but for all of us. Lord, I ask that you would... you know, I was listening to a teaching of David's the other day, and he said, you know, we don't ask for what we want, but it's what you want for us, Lord, the specific gifts. What do you have for each of us here, Lord, as this part of the body of Christ, as, you know, within this ministry of greater UBM, which gifts of the Spirit do you have for each of us to edify one another and to build each other up? So, Lord, we ask for these. I just stand in agreement with everybody. And, Lord, you'd manifest them in me and all my brothers and sisters here in the Lord and in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for each gift you have for us. Teach us how to use them, Lord. You know, I've seen, like I said, I've seen a couple manifestations of a word of knowledge. discernment of spirits, and, you know, but I've never really operated in them myself. So Lord, teach us, give us all wisdom and discernment and understanding of how to move in the gifts, Lord. It's ultimately for your glory, but it's for the, to edify the body. So we will give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for these things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The gifts of the Spirit are as the Holy Spirit wills. And so, Lord, we just ask and we pray, Father, that when it's time, that we'll be ready and we're not going to suppress it in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that everybody here always has access to the gifts of the Spirit. And not only that, Father, we ask and we pray that you let us walk in each one of them at some point in time in order to be able to experience, like Joe said, those gifts, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Father. Now, I'll tell you something else, if I might, if you don't mind. If you want to walk with, if you want to heal people, if you want to see miracles, if you want to do all the things that Jesus told you to do, and that's go ye out into the world, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, and there was another one. Well, anyway,
raising the dead.
Yeah, that was not the most important one. People like that, you know, when they're dead and they come back to life, most of them. Anyway, you can walk in. Everybody in here can already walk in that. Ask God to give you the boldness to decree and declare it when you're out. I'm telling you, that's the way you do it. You do it with the boldness that God gives you. You know beyond a shadow of doubt, glory to God, that God the Father wants you to do that. He wants us to go out and lay hands on the sick, and they will. And when you lay your hands on them, you know that God's going to back you up. And you just declare and decree it, and it'll happen every time. Not just once, not just twice, but every time. And just know, is God the Father going to vacate you? He's not going to allow you to be shamed in front of the lost. He's not going to do it. And all you have to do is get it in your spirit that God, hey, look, it ain't me. It's not anything that I do, because it all comes from Jesus. When Jesus said, go out there and do those things, he said, I will back you up and you will not be shamed. I'll back you up. That's what he wants us to do. And I guarantee you, you'll see results every time. Every time. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Missy.
Well, first of all, you just talking about what you did reminded me of this. Today, Merle and I were working on getting stuff ready for the garage sale. And he was just like, he just didn't have the strength and energy. And he just, I could tell he just didn't like feel good. You know, he had to keep stopping and taking breaks. So I just went over to him and I took a hold of his hand and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command strength and energy into Merle in Jesus' name. And that's all I did. And I noticed, you know, after a while, he perked up. I said, there you go. I said, you're smiling, you're perking up, you know? And, you know, after that, we had some, we still had a good bit to do. And, he was fine. He was fine. So praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Merle. And,
amen.
Thank you. And
That's so just anyway, the beginning, Missy.
What's that?
That's just the beginning.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I need some prayer. Yesterday, I'd been having problems with trying to use the Proton, so I just like I gave up on it because I wasn't able to have the Word capabilities, you know, and formatting, you know, an email. And I wasn't able to send pictures. And so somebody basically encouraged me to switch to Proton. That's the cut and dry of it. And so I went and I looked at it and I figured out what the problem was. And maybe I just have to uninstall the app and reinstall it. I don't know. But what I did was I went directly online rather than through the app. And I had those capabilities directly online to have the Word formatting and to send pictures. I tried it out on Merle, sent him an email. I'm like, okay. So I started switching back over to Proton, just going to all my different contacts that needed to know my my new email. I was like, this is like the third time doing this. I'm like, sorry everybody. But I had to go, you know, and go into my apps, you know, or anybody that I got emails, you know, would have to get emails regularly, whether it be my cell phone account or my bank account or my one credit card account, which I don't keep I always pay it. Anyway, so I so going through that, you know, I hate doing that stuff. And I just got all this anxiety about it. And I can feel all this tension in my back and in my neck and everything. And I was like rebuking it. And so, you know, it went away later and I was fine, you know, but I got up this morning. And a little bit after I get, you know, got up, and maybe even when I did get up, I did feel this twinge of just tenseness and all, and it slowly grew into headache. And I was nothing major. I was fighting it, and I really had a good time with the Word being in the Lord being in the Word and everything. But anyway, And so I was just praising and thanking the Lord, you know, that you know, this headache is gone. And then just kept praising him and thanking him, you know. And so as the date, what, you know, I pushed through doing all this with the yard sale. And it was like towards the end of it, it was just really starting to come on me. And then when I stopped doing it, you know, just really hit me. And I'm like, I thought I had victory. I thought I had overcome this anxiety. So just a little earlier, I was repenting to the Lord. Lord, forgive me when I feel anxious about something and not just stopping and praying about it rather than just pressing through it and just asking you to help me to rest and not be anxious about, you know, because this techie stuff just drives me bonkers. And all you gotta go through when you switch over, you know. And I know you all know what that's like, you know, you and David having to switch your email stuff and everything. And so I just repent before the Lord, and you know, for, you know, I just want deliverance from this spirit of anxiety once and for all. I don't want it no more. I don't like, even feeling the anxiety, you know, just in my being, in my mind and in my heart or whatever, I just, not just the, you know, not just how it affects me in my body, but it's just, so I just would like some prayer, you know, to just,
all right,
this spirit out.
Okay.
They didn't, you know.
All right. You're going to receive when we pray for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's fixing to come out. You're not going to have this problem anymore. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command this spirit of anxiety to go out of Missy right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have her right there. Bless God, I say go and leave her right now in Jesus' name and do not return. In the name of Jesus, we bless Missy with rest in her mind, her spirit, and her body, and her soul. In Jesus' mighty name, and we thank you for it, Father. Anxiety is gone in Jesus' name. Yes.
Lord,
Tracy, the Lord rebuke you, anxiety, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Yep. Headaches are gone because it's gone, and that was the cause of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, that she is free from this once and for all, from now till forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Now, that's right. Thank him and praise him because it's done. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise you.
I believe it for you. Well, y'all do. Amen. You're delivered.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, Benita.
Well, Missy, hopefully this will lift you up. Nick has a praise report.
I just talked to my boss, my manager today, and he said I'm officially a stalker.
Okay. Praise God for the Nick bar to be a stalker from now on, and he ain't got the fool ahead of the mess. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for my brother Nick. Amen.
Amen. You know, I just want to say also, it's, you know, he's been trying to be a stalker for a while and they just kept pushing it off. And I was getting a little anxious. I was like, oh, we should go talk to him and, you know, this and that. And of course we're going through this Jezebel spirit thing. So I was like, all right, we're just going to pray, Nick. It's not, you know, the Lord knows and he's just going to take care of us. We don't need to talk to anybody or, you know, push anything. So we just have been praying faithfully and waiting in faith for it. And praise the Lord, he did come. He answers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Nick. He's a happy camper now. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yeah. I'm sure it says happy camper, Michael. That's funny.
All right. All right. Anyone else? All right. Yeah, Samuel, go ahead.
I'll try to be quick with this one. So the Lord showed me this just last night. Everyone knows about the game poker. I'm not talking about the gambling aspect. I'm talking about just the how it operates, poker. So the devil was trying to say, oh, I'm going to put this high ante in. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a royal flush. I'm all in. I call you bluff. Guess what? We've already won. So I was like, wow, that's amazing. We're going to keep on calling the enemy's bluffs. We're going to keep on calling it.
Yeah.
And we'll just be like, remember, Jesus did it all for us. We got the victory. We've already won. So just keep calling the enemy's bluffs.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God.
Glory to God. That's exactly right. It's already been done for us. All we got to do is walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God forevermore. Whew, my. All right. Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, yeah, let me get one testimony in real quick. Y'all know we've been gone for our house, a year. So when we come back, there was a lot of work that needs to be done. And, I say a year, but I like to round up. Sounds better. Anyways, so we had a lot of work to do. And, the house was, kind of been vacant for a while, and I didn't run the AC unit, right? I just kept it off. And so the thing is, I have a really old AC unit. It's a really good brand, but it runs a Freon called R22. Now, that they don't make it anymore, and in a lot of places, it's illegal to even get. So really high-dollar stuff, right? So, and I'm summing all this up to get to this point, but, I was looking at it, because my suction line kept freezing up. I was like, man, this AC unit again. Now, this ain't the only time I've had issues with this. I've prayed them, and the Lord has given me the knowledge what to look for. And sometimes, literally, it just ran. And this time, first thing you do is change a filter, right? Can't have a dirty filter. You do all that. You do all the things you should do. And if you don't know what to do, look at YouTube. Well, they can get you so far, right? So I do a little bit of that too. Like I say, I'm an electrical guy. I can get so far electrical, but then it comes to its HVAC problem. I just don't have the ability. I called a guy because I got to the point to where I knew it was low on Freon and everything else was running and looked good. And so first person I called, they said, hey, I'm sorry, but your system's shot. They don't sell R22, you won't be able to get it anywhere in the States. And they said, we can come out there and give you an estimate. And I said, nah. And here's the thing. I don't always do this, right? When they said it was shot, they were kind of rude about it, but I don't care. They just said, man, it's shot. I'm sorry, but you just need a hose system. Replace the whole thing. And I thought, like, okay, well, this is a moment for me to confess my faith. I just felt that way. Sometimes I keep quiet because I already know how I feel. I already know what I believe. It doesn't matter. I'm not out trying to correct everybody. It's not what I'm called to do always. This time was a little bit different. Just felt the Holy Spirit nudge me. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to give it to the Lord and he'll take care of it. And I got a phone, right? I made another call and, they said, oh yeah, we got R22. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And they said, let me come out there and I'll check it out. And I said, okay, yeah, come on out. So now R22 goes about for $250 a pound, right? My AC unit holds 6 pounds, 12 ounces. That's a lot of money. I can't even do that much math. Right. Yeah, man. And, we are really low. And so, the technician came over and I told him all the troubleshooting I did. And he said, man, sounds like low Freon. I said, that's what I think. I said, but I can't, could you check it out for me? So he checks it out. And he comes back, he says, man, you're like 3 pounds low or more. And then you got the service fees and everything else and troubleshooting fees and blah, blah, blah. And I rebuked him. No, I'm just joking. I didn't rebuke him. But I said, well, here's the thing, man. I said, well, could you just let me know, the price together and we'll go from there. Cause I want to think about it. I said, cause I can just tough it out for the rest of the year. You know what I mean? Give me a little faith time, right? Build that faith up. So anyways, he went and did some stuff and he come back. He said, hey man, he said, I just put a pound. He said, I just filled you up. I'm going to charge you for 1 pound. And I said, man, you sure? You don't have to do that. He goes, no, trust me. He said, it's fine. It's totally okay. And I said, really? He goes, man, you're good to go. He says, y'all just enjoy the AC. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, man. And it was so much cheaper. And I was afraid it was going to be like $1,000 or some odd dollars. And I'm still unemployed. I still got a few mortgages more than I should. Hallelujah. And, he just blessed us, man. Lord really knows how to bless us. And, I'll say this. Me and Mary got to talking afterwards about it. And we're like, man, the Lord's really good to us. And I don't mean this in any type of work, but I want to state this if you guys have run to it in the future. You know, when we were fixing up that house, we would turn in all the unused materials that we didn't use, keep our receipts, get our money back. Well, they give us a gift card. Well, they overcharge. They give like an extra $500 or $600 on a gift card. And I said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and tell them about that, right? Because that's what you should do. And that's what I did. And they took the money back. So, oh, cool. We'll just put it back. No big deal. But here's what the point. The moral story is this. You know, man, just be honest before the Lord because he watches literally everything. And you can't hide anything from him because he knows that the most deepest inner thoughts. And I thank God for the fear of the Lord. Such a beautiful thing. And you, and obviously you guys know this, but those things come back around. He just wants you to walk uprightly in him. And those things come around. Hallelujah. Praise him.
Amen. Good testimony. Thank you, Isaac. Lord of God. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. From a new unit to 250. That's awesome. All right, Geneva.
Okie dokie. I just wanted to thank the Lord. I meant to share this last Tuesday, but I got a little carried away. Anyway, so I'm going to share it now. When I was at work, this was like 2 weeks ago, I was helping somebody out on my team and seeing patients for them because they were on vacation. And I'd never been to this nursing home before. And so usually I have to go through like COVID screening and all this goofy stuff where they take your temperature, blah, blah, blah. I go through the door. Well, I go there and they didn't do any of that. And I was like, oh, awesome. Like, cause I don't like going through that stuff anyways. It's just annoying and a hassle. And, I especially don't like it when they ask, have you had your vaccine? And I always have to put NA because I'm like, it's none of your business. But I go through there and I'm walking. And a lot of times I run into nurses that are just, I'm going to be honest, a lot of them, they need the Lord because they're just there for a paycheck. So I'm going in there and, you know, there's no signs or anything. Well, anyways, I end up finding out later on that I'd walked into a COVID unit with a bunch of COVID patients. And I walked into the room with a COVID patient who was, you know, actively had COVID, all this and that. And anyways, they didn't have signs up or anything like that. Because usually, like with my job, if they have COVID, you're not supposed to go in. But this place didn't have those signs up. So, you know, usually I always listen. You know, I mean, I have to. It's my job to, you know, not supposed to go in there. But, you know, this one, I just didn't know. I didn't know that it wasn't marked well. So, you know, so I went in there and I walked back out and asked the nurses. And they're like, oh, yeah, those are all COVID positive patients. And for a second, fear tried to grab hold of me. And I was like, you know what? I was like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I was like, Lord. I was like, no plague can come nigh thy tent. And, no weapon is formed against thee in Jesus' name. And so I was just like, well, praise you, Lord. Like I went in there and when I went in there, I prayed for the patient and everything. And I walked back out and I text Isaac and Isaac had given me a similar testimony of something that had happened to him with somebody he knew that was COVID positive. And anyways, we just prayed and I was like, well, thank you, Lord. I was like, Lord, I was around all kinds of COVID people. And, anyways, here I am 2 weeks later, no problem whatsoever. So that just goes to show, you know, how God protects us. And I mean, I was face to face, looking at him, checking him out, everything, you know, and the Lord, he keeps his angels around us. So, just praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. What is that? Anybody else? that Geneva. I was trying to think of it. It's Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And of death. That's exactly right. Nothing can in any wise hurt you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Nothing. I don't care if they say it's COVID or bubonic plague. None of it can hurt you. In fact, when you put the spit of somebody with some terrible disease in your hand, it dies. It dies. It can't live. Praise God. Whoo! Glory to God, glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, I'm talking about the spit, not
the hand. Can I just add to that? Just a minister, I just got a word when you were talking. And I've been getting that a lot lately, that nothing can separate us. No matter what, you know, no matter what sin, no matter what, no matter what's going on, no matter what bondage we might be in, no matter what the enemy may be trying to, any open doors or anything like that, legalism that the enemy, you know, is using against us, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, from the love of the Father. You know, nothing, you know, no matter how bad it is, you know, no matter what our circumstances or our situation, I've been getting that, like he's been touching me with that, you know, and boldness as well. You know, we need boldness, but nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Doesn't matter what we do. You know, it's just, you know, is love. I told Sam and Tiana this a couple of days ago that he said that I felt like he was saying that, like, my love for you stretches out into eternity. It's limitless. It just never stops. It's just, there's no end to it. So yeah, I just wanted to share that.
That's a good point, David, because a lot of people, try to compare God the Father with our own natural father. And that, you know, he's sitting there with a ball bat ready to knock us out of here, you know. When in fact, his love and his grace go way beyond anything that we could comprehend.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's just awesome, the grace that God gives us. Because he knows that you're going to come back around. He knows you're going to come back around.
I remember there was this teaching that from Derek Prince that I saw that where he said that he used to believe when he was younger that, like, God was like this distant, you know, like this distant headmaster that was always watching you, that was always watching you on the corridors and waiting for you to do something wrong so that he could, you know, he could judge you and condemn you, and then you know, he got the revelation later in his life that, like, you know, that's not God at all. You know, he's a God of righteousness and justice, and obviously, you know, he wants you to obey and you know, carry your cross every day and follow him and everything, but he's not, like, you know, constantly, like, looking, condemning you and looking to, you know, looking for you to do all the wrong things that you do, you know, in his sight. So yeah, that's not the God that we worship. So yeah, but a lot of people believe he's like this, you know, omnipotent, distant Lord that's, you know, just, you know, looking at you and going, you know, oh, you know, you're not perfect, and, you know, judging you all the time and all that. That's not the Lord we worship at all.
Amen. I remember the other day, maybe a couple of weeks ago, Eve had saw one of the angels had a book, and David asked him, he said, "What's that book?" He said, "Well, that's your crown, your rewards." And he said, and David asked him, of course, he already knew the answer to it. He asked him, what about my disobedience? He said, "What disobedience?" because he's already forgotten them. Because you repented of him. It's gone. He don't even remember. As far as the East End of the world, it's gone. Point of God. So what are you talking about? Nothing there. All right, Joe.
I got a testimony, but it's not, I'm sure it's not finished yet, but Lord, well, not last night, early this morning before this, Lord gave me the final for a little bit more, but he gave me last night before I did go through a correction, and I did, he gave me word about it, and just last night I did the thing that he said I have to do, and just after that, while I was lying in bed, he gave me a vision of wolves on a leash. And, well, early this morning, and then I woke up, I stand up and pray about it and ask for a word. And the Lord gave me this wallet to enter it. It's a psalm. I'll post it and Julie can read it. He gave me about two verses last night for me after the correction, and I did what you do, and that's what he said.
Joe, did you say that you had a vision of a wolf on a leash?
Wolf pack, yeah, on a lead, walking in the street, yeah.
Okay. So the scriptures were Psalm 139, verse 9 and 10.
Yeah.
If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, and even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Amen.
It's just awesome how the Lord, what Michael was talking about, he's not standing with a baseball bat, it's just repent, get back to me, and know still that I am God. I want obedience, and that's awesome how far away is. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Ben. Thank you, Joe. You know, if you listen to the broadcast Wednesday, I did one of the E.W. Kenyon, the father and his family. And it's an awesome, awesome revelation of how much God really loves us. And the love that he showed us is right here in front of us, and it's the earth. He made the earth before he made anything else. He made a habitat for his family, man. Everything else was put up to the sun was put up after the earth. The universe was put up after the earth. Everything else was put up after the earth. The Lord put it in there for one reason. For us. And that's how much he loves us. He created this whole universe for us. And everything ties in. You realize that there's more iron ore in the earth than gold or silver. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because we need the iron and the steel more than we need the gold and the silver, because we can make cars and we can make this and we can make that with the bridges with steel, whereas we can't do that with gold and silver. It looks pretty, but it's not very practical in a environment where we live. But it's an awesome book, and I'm probably going to go into it a little bit deeper next week. But if you get a chance, it's called The Father and His Family. Okay, Patrick.
Sorry, can I say just last piece?
Joe, go ahead.
I was reading that. Well, I did read the PDF while you were reading it. I was reading it on a PDF as well. That's an awesome revelation. I read a little bit further than what you talked yesterday. So I'm just waiting for you next week. So that's an awesome book. That's a basic. So it's so simple, but it's so basic just to understand how he explains it. So it's awesome. Thank you.
He had a an uncanny, well, I should say that he had a Holy Spirit way of making you understand why God put us here. And you know, the reason why he put us here is because he wants the fellowship with us. He longs for that fellowship with us. Glory to God. And when I started reading that, I kept reading it over and over, Joe. I just kept reading it over and over again to understand how much the Father loves us. Woo! My.
Sorry, I'm not going on again, but just a little bit. In the beginning, he says, the Lord, he was a spirit with Adam. He's a spirit being with our natural senses and spiritual senses. But we lost the spiritual senses. So he's bringing back the spiritual senses through Jesus. That's so awesome. Yeah. Just basic thing he said. So, okay, now I'm finished. Thanks.
Oh, that's okay, Joe. That's fine. I'm glad you brought that point out. That's another good point, mate. There are a lot of them in that book. And it makes you love God that much more. It really does. All right, Patrick.
I'll let Missy go first. I wanted to look up a scripture real quick.
Okay.
Thanks, Patrick. Because I'm like, there's things coming to my mind. And I'm like, well, okay, Lord, help me to remember all these by the time Michael gets to me. First of all, I was reading, I forget which psalm it was, 145, 146, 146, 147 yesterday. And it says in one of them, I think it's either 46 or 47, that God has named all the stars. Mm-hmm. That is mind-blowing. That is mind-blowing. And also the ore, the iron ore, I think another thing what just popped into my head is I think it has to do with gravity, because it made me think of magnetism. It's like the earth is a magnet, and that's why things don't go flying all over the place. You know, there's gravity. I think that's part of it too. And then the third thing about God's love is you know, God saw the end from the beginning. He knew man was going to fall and he was going to sin. And this was this. And I don't think I ever quite saw this before. And I don't even know if I have the words to even explain it to how much it impressed me. He knew man was going to fall and man was going to sin. He didn't go to a plan B. It's always been plan A. Why? It has to do with his love. That is the proof of his love. Rather than just say, well, scratch that. Okay, they screwed up. They sinned. I'm going to destroy them now. No. He had a plan to redeem us through his son. You know, he didn't say, well, scratch that. It just, I don't even have the words to express. It just really hit me. It was just like, it's to prove that he is love. It's to prove that he is love. He didn't just, because it would say, it would mean that he's eternally unforgiving. But no, he made a way to forgive us, and he sent his son to be that sacrifice, the Lamb of God that was sinless and spotless and blemishless. He gave his son to die for us instead. To me, it's just really like, It proved his love, that he just didn't scratch, you know, I don't even know if I'm even explaining it well enough, but it just so encouraged me when you were talking about that. It just all of a sudden it popped into my head that that's how much he loves us. He just didn't, you know, his love is so much higher and so much greater then there's nothing to compare it to. Absolutely nothing to compare it to. Nope. You know? And it's the proof of his love. You know, that's the, I guess you could say, number one attribute of God. God is love. And he just didn't write us off. You know, and how, you know, anyway, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just encouraging me, with showing that to me. I saw it in a greater way, and I don't even have words to explain it, I don't think. And I just thank you for your love, Father, for just.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, it's hard to imagine the love and the grace that God has. We don't have a measuring stick to measure God's love and his grace by. There ain't nothing there. All right. Pat, are you ready or did you want to wait? Were you? No. Okay, go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah. Hey, speaking on love, I'll just share real quick, if that's okay. Just something I read. It's real short and just it did bless me very much. Now, you know, just like you said, Michael, you can't compare his love. And I've often thought about that because at times in life, you know, my dad was a very strict and rigid man growing up. And then I had a stepdad later in life and he was a totally different aspect. So I've got to see, I got to see two different aspects of, you know, what fatherhood is. Anyways. But, you know, you think about these things. Well, God, how much do you love your children? You know, think about your child. You know, gosh, I love them with everything. There's nothing left in me that I couldn't love the guy anymore. But then he created love. Father created love. So how much more does he know it? Because what you feel, he created for you. You know what I mean? I always try to think about it that way. But let me read this. This is really cool. And if you get time and anybody feels led, read Luke 15, and when you get to the parable of the prodigal son, read that in the, you know, there's a lot of depth to that and different ways to see it. You can see it for the story, and I'm sure that's fine and wonderful. And you can also see it in a sense of apostasy. And if you look at those Greek words, oh my Lord, that thing is very, very deep. And the Lord is really open my mind to it today, and I just kept on reading. And even in the beginning, you know, two sons, one the younger, and you know, he had an older one. I think the younger one resemble being immature.
And hey, Isaac,
yeah,
you're apparently getting away from the microphone because you get fuzzy. You get fuzzy. Sure, okay.
Yep. Thank you. Okay, so let me just read this then real quick. So, we're talking about love here, and this really blessed me so much. Luke 15, and I guess I'll start on 17, and it says, "But when he had came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare?'" Right? And I think we understand that bread is the word, because he was even eating the husk, you know, or just the husk would be fine, because there was a famine. Think about that spiritually. Okay, moving on. And he goes on to say, "How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare? And I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." But this really blessed me today about the love of the father, just like y'all are talking about. Right here in verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father." He already had a repentant mind. And yet, you know, there is this walk of maturity, and we may not have everything. You know, we're believing to walk in perfection. That's what we're doing. But notice this. "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off," that word there, "but while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." while he was yet afar off. Ain't that something? And you know, you think about where he fell on his neck and kissed him and put on a robe and a ring and shoes. Remember what Pharaoh did to Joseph, put on a necklace around his neck, a robe, a ring. I mean, there's so many parables here, but yet while he was afar off, and thank God that we got a father that will run to us, because the word Bel is seize, and he'll seize us and just give us grace, man, and run to us. So I just really blessed me today. That was it.
Amen. Amen. What comes to my mind is the shepherd going after the one lost sheep rather than the 99. And he rejoices that, you know, all of those parables about that, the lady that lost the coin, all of those parables are explaining God's love to us. That's awesome. Thank you, Isaac. All right, Patrick.
So thanks, Isaac. That was good. I think the thing that I saw about that, it's interesting that of course the son had to, you know, go out into the world and, you know, and had to come to himself and really had to really become aware of where he was at, and, you know, kind of took stock of what was in himself, I think. And when he come to himself, he repented. And it's interesting, I'm looking back at that. When he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Take me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And it said when he was far off, like you said, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And it took the son by surprise. He was, you know, kind of jolted at that response, because he didn't even get his words out. And he had the words that he needed to say. But his father blew right by that. And then I think the son, you know, maybe stopped him for a little while and said, but father, you know, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And again, the father blew right by it. It was important for the son to get those words out, but it was important to the son. The father already knew it. He blew by that. He blew right by that. And he was already into the rejoicing of the repentance phase, but the thing is that the boy had to get it out. He had to say that. And I think when I was listening to David talk about how God is, we can't be separated from him. There's no one powerful enough to pluck us out of his hand. And the father's attitude is exactly that. He's ready to blow by it and put it behind him. And in that spirit of repentance, he sees that heart of repentance and he's ready to go. But there is something that we need to do as individuals, and that we need to confess that. We have to be able to confess that to him. And obviously 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. You know, it comes in there. But knowing that that is, that we are able to confess, we're able to open up and be real and express really what's in our heart, and knowing that God accepts us, he knows that already. He knows what's in there. We may have to get it out and confess it and express it, but God is ready to blow by that and embrace us with his love and fall on our neck and kiss us and express his love for us. But I guess I'm just making the point that nothing can separate us, but we still need to take advantage of being able to confess that from within ourselves to our Father, because it's more for our benefit than it is his. Well, it obviously is more for our benefit than it is his, but he gives that to us as for that added extra benefit of what we need. So I guess that's all I had to say.
Amen. You sure do. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
You say that with a little bit of hesitation there, Michael. I really don't want to interrupt the conversation around the whole prodigal son story, because I mean it's a gift that keeps on giving. I keep finding more and more and more in that little account that Jesus gave, you know. But anyway, I will step aside from it, because I just remembered I have a testimony for you, and that is I can now drive a bus and a truck.
Well, praise the Lord.
So yeah, no, it wasn't. It was. I had to, you know. Basically, it wasn't. It wasn't a test, or you know, I didn't. I already had the license, as I mentioned on your Tuesday night. But basically, all I had to do was, you know, was for, you know, hour and a half drive a bus around, you know, and as long as no one was dead or injured, or you know, there wasn't damage under property, I was okay, and stay off the curb, and then do the same thing with the truck. Because, as you know, being a long vehicle, they don't really like, you know, when you go around corners and the back wheels go over the curb, because it doesn't do the curb very good, etc. And I managed to succeed in all that, but one time towards the end in the truck, I was going around a corner and the truck kind of did a, but I said to the guy, oh, I think I may have, you know, gone over the curb. And I looked back and I said, oh, no, it's all right. I hit a cat. He said, oh, that's fine. But anyway, sure, all ticked.
I'm sure the people of Australia are thrilled that you passed the test.
Yeah, I can bring a lot more people to the Lord now if I get a full bus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh my. Anyone else? Anyone else on the love of God for his people? Do you realize?
Sorry.
Go ahead, David. No, you go ahead, David.
It says my connection is unstable. So I hope everyone can hear me. Can you hear me?
Your internet is breaking up on you. It's okay now. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the enemy just trying to, because like everything's freezing up. Yeah. Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah, in Jesus' name. Go.
All right, you're good now. You're good now.
Okay. Yeah, I've just, what gets me sometimes is that scripture where are you hearing me?
Yes. Don't move your head. Yeah. That's good right there.
David, you might want to turn your video off temporarily.
Okay. That might help. Yeah. Okay, let me try that. Thanks for that tip. Let me try that.
That's good right now.
Sorry, just 1 second. Yeah, I'll just stop the video. Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds good.
Okay. It's just that scripture where it says that God was, you know, when before the flood, when there was all that stuff going on, there was all that sin going on, and it says that God was sorry that he made man. You know, I mean, I just don't think our limited minds can comprehend. We're talking about the Creator, we're talking about the Lord, you know, one God. And, you know, he was actually sorry that he made us, you know. But through Noah, it just makes me think, you know, that, you know, that it got so bad that, like, God could have given up on us right there and then, you know. He could have decided not to leave a remnant, not to let his son, you know, come down and minister to us and sacrifice himself for us. And it just like, I think it's a very strong, like, powerful point in the Bible. But he didn't give up on us because, you know, as our sister said earlier, you know, he loves us, and it was preordained. You know, he already foresaw everything that would happen, including flooding the earth and, you know, everything, and the ark and everything else. But still, you know, that it just gets me. You know, he felt, I think, God is capable of feeling pain, which I think he is, because he shares our pain. So, you know, and our trials and everything, I think that's why it's something, you know, he could have, you know, and then I remember.
David, we're not able to understand what you said there. Your internet connection has. That sounds good now.
Yeah, it just drops it in off. And that's just the point I wanted to make. It just, you know, it's amazing that he was sorry that he made us, and, you know, but as we said, he's sovereign, and it was preordained. You know, he saw that before it happened, but still. Yeah, that's it. Praise God.
Okay, praise God. Thank you. We heard a lot of it. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Some of it we didn't catch, but that's okay. I see who had their hand up. Go ahead, Benita.
I was just heard something the other day, and I just thought I should share it, but kind of along lines of what David was just saying. You know, even when Christ was being tempted by Satan, you know, and Satan was like, you know, I'll give you everything if you, you know, just say that I'm whatever, you know, however he said it. But I mean, he could have just right then did that, and he, you know, wouldn't have had to suffer anything. And even as he went to the cross, so many people are mocking him all the way there. And you know, you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And, you know, he could have called in a legion of angels, but he didn't do that. And he knew what he needed to do. And he was patient and long-suffering because he knew he had to do that. And that was his love that pulled him through that whole thing. So kind of reminded me of that when David was talking. So praise the Lord that he did not give up on us and on the plan of the Lord. Amen.
Why don't you go ahead, Missy? I think Michael's on the phone.
Okay. Going back to what David was saying about that God was sorry that he had made us, you know, and I was like, and I think I caught a little bit of something he said there in all the static. He said about pain, that it pained God. And that was what it had come to me, you know, that he was sorry, but God is not just love. He's also just too. And to hold true to who he is, you know, he had to destroy those. He had to destroy the wicked, you know, and it just boggles my mind when you think that it was just Noah and his family that he saved from all that. Those were the only ones that, you know, and actually it wasn't even his sons so much that were had God's approval. It was Noah himself, but because of God's household salvation, that included his sons and their wives, I believe it was. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, it just, he was sorry because that he had made man. Sorry in that it grieved him that he had to do what he did. You know, he had to destroy most of humanity because of the wickedness. But he had to do it so that things just didn't, the wickedness just didn't completely take over, you know. I mean, you could say in a sense that he did that for the sake of Noah and his family, the only ones that were righteous, you know, that God considered worth even saving, you know. But anyway, just some thoughts about that, you know. Just yeah, it grieved him that he had to destroy everybody. That's just my thought.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
I'm glad, Missy, you pointed out that, like, you know, you said it pained God, it grieves him, because I remember it just brought to my mind, I don't know if you guys have heard the testimony from a young lady. I want to say she's from Mexico. One of the Spanish-speaking countries, I think, down in South America, Angelica Zambrano, years ago, she had a vision or a dream of going to hell, you know, and the Lord Jesus was with her, walking her through hell. And I remember that kind of spoke to me about, you know, just like the love of, you know, of the Lord. I mean, through the dream, he was weeping, you know, he couldn't take these people out of hell. I think if I remember, she was asking about them, you know, I mean, what can you do for them, Lord? I'll post it in the chat, you know, the YouTube video. But he was weeping, you know, he was saddened, you know, truly weeping, you know, and I just, that was so foreign to me. You know, I mean, like I said, when I grew up Catholic, I just, yeah, I was one of those individuals, you know, and I was kind of I looked at God as like this, just this distant God. Okay, he created everything, but he didn't care to know us. He was ready to discipline us when we needed it, you know, and he didn't care.
you know, just a very avoidant, emotionally, you know, distant God who didn't care, you know. And I mean, that was like my father, you know, my earthly father. So yeah, I equated that with who God was. But yeah, before, and when I first started to understand God, you know, as a loving God, truly love, understand his love. And that spoke to me about Jesus. I was like, why is he so sad? You know, why is he weeping? I never experienced that, but I guess as an intercessor over the years at times I have experienced that love for people who were lost. If I'm praying for somebody, a family member, yeah, it brings you to tears when you never, you know, I grew up never understanding love, but then when you finally experience it, and yeah, it will grieve you. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone else has ever had that experience in the past before they understood it, you know, growing up in a situation where you've never experienced that love when, and then you finally do, it just kind of, it was foreign at first, but then, yeah, it hit me and I thought, wow, yes, that is what love is. So. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that reminds me, Joe. Sorry, I don't mean to be Mr. Social Butterfly here and keep talking, but, you know, Joe, you said something and it really brought this dream to me. Now, I've shared this dream a time before, but it's probably the most powerful dream I've ever had. It was quite amazing and it's very, very short. But in this is also testifies his love. Now, this is like right in the very, very beginning of the pandemic. I really wasn't walking in, I wasn't believing for grace. Let me start there. I wasn't walking in it. And, you know, it wasn't until afterwards I read, what was it? God's Vaccine Man. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's amazing. Anyways, and my, just since then, man. It's been amazing. Anyways, moving on. But I had this dream that I was in hell and it was dark, obviously, and I was on a rock cliff. Now, these were jagged cliffs and I could see, even though it was very dark, they were almost like brown, like it, but with the shade on them, because I'm assuming they were sulfur, and they were very jagged. And I was chained to about 100 people, my legs and arms, right? And everyone was totally bare, you know, no clothes, no nothing, no garments, and like zombies. And everybody was, you know, groaning in agony. And I remember the speck of light came to the right and I could barely see the speck, but the whole, everybody's on that cliff looked over and was watching it, you know, still groaning in agony. And as it came closer, it was Jesus, and he floated in front of me and he went on. And I remember I stuck my hand out as far as I possibly could. And I was dragging these other people. Some of them probably fell off the cliff, but I was sticking my arm out as far as I possibly could to reach him. And I remember in the dream specifically, my fingertips were stretching so far, I could feel them. And I screamed, Jesus. Now this light, he went past me and he went on the other side of the cliff and I couldn't see him. But when I screamed, Jesus, I mean, with, think about total desperation and think about you have one shot and what would you give? Everything. And that's what it was in that moment. And I screamed, Jesus. And that light stopped and it turned around and it came back and it was Jesus. And he stood in front of me and he grabbed me and he pulled me out and he held on to me and he hugged me. And we just sat there and I cried and he just held on to me. And I just think about that dream whenever I can. So amazing, and that right there is love.
Hey, man, isn't it amazing what the name of Jesus can save you from? Oh, my goodness. I remember one night, or it might have been real early in the morning, because I used to get up and walk around the yard 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and pray when I was back in Arkansas. And one morning I was up and I got out. I was going toward my shop, which is right next door. And about halfway over there, fear gripped me and choked me to where I couldn't hardly breathe. And it just grabbed a hold of me and it had me by the throat. This is a demon. And I couldn't do anything, but I finally squeaked out, "Jesus!" Instantly, he was gone. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is to save us. And just like Isaac was talking about, he's talking about getting him out of hell, getting me away from death, getting, you know, that's awesome. Awesome name. That's the confession we need to be making, you know. All right. Anyone else? I got a question, and I want to ask it in seriousness. Would you rather we pick something out of one of David's books and go through it, like we just did the Jezebel, or just come on and allow the Holy Spirit to lead the discussion, or both, or utilize both?
Both, please.
Oh, okay. That's one. Okay. There's two, three, four. I'm going to start pointing people out. Okay. That sounds good. We'll just do both. I thought what we would do, what is today? Is this Tuesday? No, it's Thursday. How many of you have read The Tongue Conquers the Curse? How many of you have memorized it? Because I know that we always, or sometimes, we forget that our confession means a lot, because we curse ourselves or we curse somebody else and don't realize it until after it's gone. So I thought we'd do chapter 6 out of The Tongue Conquers the Curse next week. Hang on just a second.
Go on, Pat.
Shall I jump out there?
You jump away. It's too quiet.
I missed last meeting, and the Lord laid this on my heart. About, and we were still talking about the Jezebel. So I'm kind of torn, because I don't know if circumstances came up and kind of booted me, prevented me from coming in. And this was the thing that the Lord had showed me. And I don't know if he, you know, maybe just wants me to skip it or whatever. So I'm going to say something about the edited version of what the Lord took me through. And I know that we're finished up on all of our conversations related to the Jezebel spirit. Is that true, Michael?
Yes, we finished that Thursday. Last
Tuesday?
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah.
And, all right. Unless you need us to go through some more of it.
I just wanted to kind of cap off just a couple thoughts of what the Lord gave me, and then I'll let it go at that.
Okay.
And that was, I was in Revelation 2:20. And he says in Revelation 2:20, he says, notwithstanding, he's talking to the church of Thyatira. And he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, and teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I was looking at, so I just kind of went through and was looking at what that, trying to get an idea of the Jezebel spirit and what is it, the essence behind the Jezebel spirit. And when God said, you suffer that woman Jezebel, that word means to tolerate or allow, or you know, allow that to happen. Excuse me. She calleth herself a prophetess, and the key word there is that she calls herself. That spirit calls itself. It usurps, it takes authority, it grants itself authority to function. And she teaches, or she gives instructions, or she hones, or she trains those that listen to her, that spirit. And she seduces, that word seduces means causes one to wander away from the truth. And then causes them and causes the bondmen to commit fornication, which is obviously it's illicit or illegal relationships outside of the bonds of marriage or of a proper marriage. And the thing that hit me about those verses is the connection between that word prostitute is the word porneo or it's the word we get pornography from, a porno or something like that. The connection or the strength of that spirit is, and the person that is overcome in that spirit, there is always an aspect of immorality, physical immorality, that's connected with that spirit. They tolerated that Jezebel spirit to teach and train them and cause them to wander away from the truth, because she allows them to use her to fulfill their lust, or those people that are attached or functioning in that spirit. She uses them, controls them, because of the lustful expression that they are allowed to have with her. I'm trying to say this somewhat judiciously, I guess you might say. So this spirit controls people by the use of taking advantage of the God-given, God-created, God-ordained physical desires for relationship that man and woman have. Yet this spirit uses that God-given desire against a person, against people. So I say that because that spirit uses that mechanism to gain and maintain control over its victim. And God says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. That spirit will not repent. It will not. It will not, because it will not give up control, the control and influence that it has over others. And so God has a solution or a next step or whatever. And that is, behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. Now, it's interesting that God changes the word now of the commission of the sin. It is no longer fornication or illicit physical relationships outside the context of a marriage relationship. Now it is adultery. That is the relationships that have gone, that of a married couple that have gone outside the bonds of that relationship. God's telling those that are bound and are caught in under the influence of this Jezebel that he's going to cast them into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. They have the ability to repent of her deeds. It said in another version, I'm reading out of King James, but they have the ability to repent of the deeds of Jezebel, that Jezebel spirit. So again, God, I think it just hit me that there's a connection between the physical, the word pornea or porn or that sort of thing. There's a physical connection by which Jezebel uses to control. And of course, those that want to desire to escape that, even in the midst of this tribulation, this great tribulation that God cast those into that are bound and dealing with that, is that 1 John 1:9. God knows where we're at. We have the ability to confess and bring whatever out into the light of his truth and his cleansing, and he forgives us and brings us through repentance, just like the prodigal son, again, clean and pure before him again. But I only bring this up or thought about it is because it's important to know that there's a connection there, that Jezebel will do all they can do to create this, take advantage of this, these physical desires and entrap people into a trap of doubt and guilt and worry and concern and fear and everything like that. And God's answer is always the same. Confess your sins and claim the blood of Jesus, and his forgiveness is there for everyone. So I just wanted to toss that out kind of at the end there. I know we're not going to probably not going to go back over it again. So I just thought I would toss it out as a capper at the end there.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. What I'm trying to do, and I'm sorry if it looks like I'm busy, but I'm busy, trying to get a link to tomorrow night's fellowship. It's going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on Zoom. It's going to be on a private channel. And I'm going to put the link out here in the chat as soon as I get it here. So give me just a minute here and I'll have it all up there for you. It's they tested it out today. Yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, for those of us who are on phones, can you email something, or is it?
I'm going to email it also.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, I will. Okay, let's see. Give me just a second. Well, oh boy. Okay. Does anybody got anything they want to talk about while I try to figure this out? I'm trying to figure out how I can get this link on the chat.
Michael?
Yes.
Do you have it in a text, or what do you have it in?
It's in a text, and it's not on my computer.
Can you send it to me?
Yeah. Okay.
And then I can try to make something happen. And can I just confirm, you said we're going to be doing on Tuesday the Tongue Conquers the Curse, Chapter 6?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Let me just... Yes. Speak the things of the kingdom.
Speak the things of the kingdom, chapter 6. Okay, thank you. It's on PDF too on the website.
You got it.
You don't have a hard copy of the book. Thank you.
You got it.
I got it.
And I will send an email out here just as soon as I get off it to everybody to get it.
You're going to remind us of the Tongue Conquers the Curse too on the email?
I can, yeah. I sure can. Thank you for reminding me. I'll make a note of that also.
He needs to be reminded to be reminded.
Michael has the mind of a blessed saint who doesn't forget much of anything.
What'd you say?
You've got a great mind. You have the mind, amen, of Christ.
I sure do. Amen. Okay. Did you put it up there? Okay.
No, I had to do my own little...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Back down here.
All right.
I had to send it to myself so I could put it in here, because I can't do it from my phone either.
Okay.
There you are.
There it is. There it is.
And do you want me to send that to you so you have it in your email, Michael? And
that'd be great. That'd be great. That'd be great.
I'm happy to do that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we close out tonight? David, I hope we didn't run you off tonight with some of our antics here.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Praise God for that.
We're having a terrible time understanding the word of it. It's all choppy.
Yeah. Choppy-fy. Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. Just my connection looks like it's giving me problems. But
don't move and it'll work. No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Merle was telling me that they canceled their Bible study tonight because several were sick, and the one quote unquote elder, he didn't want anybody to know, but he's got COVID, and I think this is the first time he's ever had it, but he's had all the way up to the second booster. Maybe more, I don't know. So I just want to pray. Father, I just, Lord, I ask you to give them revelation, Lord, that you are our healer. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've never changed, Lord. You killed all in the wilderness, Lord. You still heal the way you did when you were here on this earth, Lord. But now you're here on this earth in us, God with us, Emmanuel, Lord. And that you still pray for us, through us, for each other, Lord. And that your ways are higher than man's ways. Your ways are not man's ways. You don't use the works of man, the ways of Egypt, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to show this to this assembly, your elect specifically, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for giving them the faith to believe that you've never changed. And as I've heard someone say, it's all true, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And then there's a lot of people that are having trouble with, that are dying from the vax now. So we pray for God's elect from doubt and unbelief in the apostate church before it's too late. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, rules for tomorrow night. We do have rules. Somebody asked me about that. There will be no chat to talk back and forth with because of problems we had in the past on PayPal. Some of you may remember. David's broadcast used to be on PayPal. And, we had people trying to come in there and causing trouble. So we're going to shut that down. But here's the reason why. You may think that y'all are going to be the only ones on there. We're looking in the future with thousands, possibly millions, being on there. So it has to be started right away in order to keep order in the fellowship. And it's for y'all to participate with us in your own way and to see the things that we do and to be, and we may have a moderator. Can you hear me? I have trouble hearing. I'm sorry.
I just make, that we'll be able to not only see what you're doing, but hear everything what you're doing clearly, like almost yes. like we were there in the room with you.
Just like YouTube streams. It's going to be just like those church streams where you can hear everything. But I'm going to be talking real low so you can't hear me, so I'm just saying. No, it's going to be awesome. And we ask that if you see something that needs to be improved upon, you know, you can email Chuck, or you can email me and I'll forward it to you. So, but the chat will be off, and there won't be any, we can't take, requests for songs and that kind of thing, because it's just too much. It's too many. We got people in the local that's going to be doing that. So sorry. I could just get up there and sing the whole time, but you know, I'm going to run everybody off. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin.
So it's at 7:30 tomorrow?
No, it's at 7 o'clock my time, Eastern Standard Time. And it'll probably open up about 9:45 or 9:50 or something like that, so that everybody can come in and be there when we start. I like to start it right at 7 o'clock. So we try to anyway.
Well, I just type this stuff in on YouTube and I'll get there.
Right. Yeah, the whatever you got there in the chat there, that link right there will get you into our streaming.
Yeah, but I got to do it around 7 o'clock. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I guess.
Can I interrupt a second? Andrew, when Michael sends that email out, all you'll need to do is click on that link in the email and it'll open it right up.
Yeah.
In place of, if you don't know how to copy it from the chat in here and save it someplace on your computer, it'll be in the email. So you can just click on it and it'll
open up. Let me qualify. This is a one-time thing for this link, because we're going to have our own. This is Chuck's private link for himself, and we're going to have one just for UBM, but it takes 24 hours. We ain't got 24 hours before we get ready for tomorrow night. So this is a one-time thing, and then after we get the link, I'll send it to everybody again, the right one. So this is just a one-time link. Sorry. But we're in the process of learning, and you know how that goes. As Isaac does, he knows that you have to troubleshoot things continually. So if you see something that needs to be improved, you know how to improve it, let us know, you know. All right, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, for your leading, and lead us, Father, with everything that we do. We thank you for the times that are coming, Father, that you are preparing our hearts to be ready, and our faith. And you've given us bold faith, Father, to believe that when we pray against a mountain, it'll go to the sea. When we pray that, it'll happen. Bless God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. One quick thing. Yeah, that's the YouTube link here, Sunil. Thank you, Lord, for a mind like a steel trap. Just a quick testimony. We had millipedes here by the bunches, millions, underneath the house, and they'd come up and get in the house. And the funny thing about it, we found out we could, they would take his little hand vacuum cleaner, go in the living room and suck him up. And he'd look right behind him, and there'd be one right behind him. They just appear. It just appeared. It was spiritual. And so we prayed against it. We don't have them anymore. No, we hadn't had them in quite some time now, but the enemy is very sneaky-fied. You see something that's not right, go to praying against it and it'll leave. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just pray against it and it'll leave. Just like in fruit flies is flying around. They said, what in the world are they doing in my bedroom? I ain't got no, well, maybe a little bit, but not a whole lot of food. But it's not the kind that they like. You know, it's just not fruit and all that kind of stuff. But they've been sitting here. And I said, I ain't putting up with this. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I'm not going even looking at you anymore because you're gone. You're out of here in the name of Jesus. And they went too. And I ain't seen one in days now. Praise God. Yeah, Missy.
Can I give a quick testimony that I gave this morning that relates to this?
If it's quick, yeah, because we're 10 minutes after now.
When I was at Barbara's on Sunday, she had said, you know, and I think she mentioned to us all that her cat had before fleas, and I had brought fudge along with me, and she asked me, does fudge have fleas? And I'm like, no. So then the other night, I think it was last night, fudge was just having a fit, scratching and everything, you know. And she was like scratching everywhere. And I'm like, fleas came to my mind. I'm like, nope, I don't receive that. It is not fleas. I command to go. I told the angels to get rid of them. Whatever the issue was gone. So then she jumped up here on my lap and she get a big one of these like quick jumps, like something bitter, but she didn't go and bite it, you know. And the enemy's so, no, it's not. The enemy so much wanted me to look and see if there were any fleas. And I resisted that because it's like, nope, if I believe that they're taken care of or whatever the issue is, I'm not going to go look because, you know, I walk by faith and not by sight. So, and fudge did not have a fit after that. So praise you, Jesus. So my point is, don't go looking. Don't go looking for something, because our faith is our walk is by faith, not by sight. So just want to say that.
Amen. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Good night, y'all. We shall see y'all again Tuesday, I think. Yeah. Lord willing. Let me qualify. Lord willing.
Tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow. Thank you. Yeah, Megan. Mm-hmm.